I don't have any lights. They're all wired to a switch with plug-ins in the ceiling, and they hang from little chains so I can move them around or do whatever. And, of course, I had actually wired it for about twice as many as I ended up. I put in half what I thought I needed just to get going, and I was like, this is so bright out. That being said, they were cheap fixtures, man. They were like 10, 12 bucks. I had to replace one of them because tombstone's broken. It's cheaper to buy a new fixture than buy the end, so I scrapped it, you know, saved the three good tombstones, saved the ballast out of it, and thought, well, I'll use that in case one of mine in my garage goes out. But now I'm looking at it, and I'm wishing they were this cheap back then, because I would have just bought those instead, and, you know, because it looks cheaper, you know, when you say, hey, a fixture is $15, even $40, you know, it looks cheaper, but then you got to go buy bulbs for it, even $4 or $5 a piece, and you can go buy an LED fixture for, you know, $50 or $40, and the thing lasts, and you just plug it in, use it, and you don't ever have to do nothing.
Oh, yeah, I hear you. Yeah, when I built the shop here at the house, I had somebody gave me a bunch of old 8-foot HO fixtures, and I thought, sweet, you know, free fixtures, free shades, free bulbs. Gave me, you know, a half dozen ballast or whatever. They'd taken them out and switched them out somewhere, and oh, that's a pretty sweet deal, till everything started going south, and buy bulbs here, buy ballast here, this ballast isn't good, you're messing with this, that, and other, and I'm like, man, these HOs are freaking expensive.
I'm grabbing something there real quick, but yeah, no, I know the free light thing. I was telling the lady up there today, we were doing some stuff, I said, you know, what's funny is I had a truckload of these fixtures we gave away, literally, because I told her, I said, this is the craziest thing, my dad knew, we're tearing down a building, and I got to go, you know, remove all this stuff safely and pack it and all this stuff in a trailer and get it moved, and then we put it in a building and stored it and on and on and on for, like, literally, we probably hung a dozen out of, you know, maybe, probably more than 50, probably like not 100, probably 75. Whole fixtures, bulbs, everything. And we got all said and done. And we probably used, you know, we may have used 10 of them in my dad's shop. Same thing. You know, free stuff and put them up. And the ones that don't work, you switch out to a few parts and make them work. And, you know, if something gets down to just the shell, you just pitch that and get it all done. And the rest of them, he literally, they needed to use the building for something else, or he rented it out or something. He told them, if you don't want to get rid of them, we'll just haul them off, throw them in a dump. I thought, oh, dear God. But, you know, it was one of those things that I've thought about the same thing in my shop. I don't have power ran to it yet. I put a barn about a year ago, and metal shop, full spray foam insulated. Everything's nice. And, you know, I talked to the electrician about what it's going to take to run, you know, good power to it, you know, a big circuit. Man, it's going to be expensive. And I just thought about, for some little lights, I'm really considering just throwing up a couple solar panels, one or two deep cycle batteries, and actually one would probably do me. And, you know, if I need to run something small, I can use a power inverter. And most of the stuff I use nowadays is a power tool anyway, you know, 20-volt DeWalt stuff. You don't need nothing. So you got a bunch of LED light strips in there. And my uncle did his shop at his house, like, I don't know, 5,000 square foot. And I was looking at his thing. His amp draw is nothing. So, I mean, if I did a fourth of that, you know, for lighting, I can go in there and flip a light switch just like whatever. It don't care. That light switch don't care if it's DC or AC or whatever. Just do your conversion right there at the battery and just run it, you know, pump it up from 12 to 24 volt or whatever, feed direct wire or non-direct wire LED light bulbs, the ones that need the converter. But you don't only have to have one, and you can run probably 20 fixtures off of one converter, and no more than I'm in there. I don't think I even need to run power to the thing.
Probably not. I've got to get my software real quick and fix this thing. My base is also programmed for the channel. Yeah, I got to fix this thing. It's kind of a pain in the butt. I got to get into this channel and get this thing corrected for sure.
Bird Squad, so the Motorola then, right?
Yeah, I got kind of spoiled to the Motorola stuff. I tend to like them. They're pretty rugged. And like I said, everything I have is dual purpose. It's either fire department or I stick all my 2-meter stuff in here. I can't complain too much.
The base station going into that, or just you can hit the repeater with an HT?
I've got both. I live now maybe 2 miles as a crow flies from the tower for the repeater, so HT is pretty easy, but I've got a 4550 in the shack also for a base.
I gotcha. Well, yeah, like you said, if the Motorola, like you said, the channel busy, just turn the thing off and be done with it and go to town and you got to work around. I'm in the farthest northeast corner of the county, so if I was across the street, my property tax would be half, but I ain't, so whatever. But anyway, it's a little bit of a hop, you know, and I can't hit it with an HT. There's no way. You can try a little bit better antenna. My base antenna, I can plug it in. I can make it on 1 watt on a clear night. If we got any other noise out there, I can't, you know, but 5 watts is relatively reliable. But anyway, that's that. But for most of these guys doing crossbanding, you know, that's the thing I use a lot because, I mean, I'm in there doing laundry half the time on Tuesday night nets because I just kind of set my schedule up around it. I know I'm going to be listening for an hour and talking for 2 minutes, you know, and I just kind of set my schedule up around that, and so I just got lazy and reliable on crossbanding, and then they changed that, and it does not work. And so, you know, if you can make it that way and just change one setting in the radio, it's awesome. But I'm proud of myself for that. But you know, it works. Once in a while, you get strong stations. Harold, Danny, Jeff. When the strong stations come in here, Bobby. There's a whole handful of them. Anyway, when they come in strong, it's kind of weird because it sounds like listening to somebody on the CB radio with an echo thing because you're hearing it on both the input of the repeater and the output that I'm listening to. So other applications, I think that setup would work great for somebody, especially if you're crossbanding out of a vehicle or a truck, remote type stuff where you need that power to transmit, but you don't have to have that power to receive because the... A transmitter uses the power when it transmits, so like a base station or a base in a truck, it's going to suck way more power, so instead of having to use the stuff to use all the time while it's running, instead of basically being 100% duty cycle, something like a net, you're like 2% duty cycle, you know, it's nothing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I'm kind of spoiled. I don't live too far from the repeater, and I'm on a great big hill, so I'm kind of HT spooled. I can walk around the yard with a HT and a speaker mic and just hit most whatever I need to. The DMR repeater I can usually hit most times around here off a handheld. If I go down the hill and kind of get off in some trees or something like that, it gets kind of spotty, but it gets pretty good coverage. But anyway, give me just a second. I'm going to read this radio right quick. I don't have a rear port cable, so give me just a second. I'm going to read this thing. I'll be right back. K5 LDE.
All right, KG5 TD, standing by, sir.
K5 LDE, we're back.
Yeah, whatever you did is working. I stepped outside, so yeah, you're coming in with the echo, but that ain't your fault. That's my compromised setup. But it's working.
Okay, I turned the power down to low. I don't know why it was on high on default, but anyway, I decided to just go ahead and fix it while I was in the software real quick. So, for some reason, this one 4550 that when you hook up the programming cable, you have to reboot the radio for the computer to read it. I don't know why. I've updated software or firmware, I'm sorry. But it just has that one nasty habit.
You got a good setup either way, because if you're doing low power, I'm getting you as strong on the input to the computer as I am listening to the output of the computer. You're one of the two stations that do that here, but like I said, it's my compromised cross-banding, so I don't have to wait for the squelch tune. So that means you got a good antenna at home then.
It's elevation is king. I'm this radio is just running a little Ringo Ranger off the edge of the roof. It's probably, I don't know, 10 foot off the ground, but like I said, on this big hill, and it really helps. I can pretty much see about every cell tower, every tower from here to anywhere.
Yeah, it's like my cousin and her husband is building a house just north of me, the property north of us. And anyway, they kind of chopped out a couple little pieces of family farm type thing. And anyway, went up there, and I could go up there on the hill, like with the bar of four-wheeler one time, went up there to look around, and I could see the repeater. And I got into it and a bunch of others with the little bow thing one day, just screwing around. Jeff or somebody picked me up, and he said, oh, try this one, try that one. He can hit anything because he's got a heck of an antenna. He pushes 50 watts all the time. And, man, that was kind of fun, you know. But just running around the backyard, even down kind of in the, I mean, the bottom of the valley, they're at the top of the hill, you know, I can actually hit that the 440 better than I can the 2 meter. I guess it's trees or whatnot. And I can actually hit the one there at the I-35 and 240. I can get into it on both 2 meter and 440 fine with an HT. But that one on 2 meters, it just doesn't work. You got to get something up a little higher or a little more power than 5 watts, you know.
Yeah, that's made me really lazy on my VHF, UHF setup. We've got a little, I think it's a Comet or a Diamond, one of the two. A little dual band up on the tower about, yeah, it's probably 20 feet up. Then I run one of my UHF radios off of, and then this little guy, like I said, it's about 10 foot off the ground, and they work great. So my HF stuff goes up high and gets all the prime real estate around here.
I got you. Hey, long as they say that, hey, it goes full quiet in the repeater after that, it don't matter, you know. But it may just be me, and I meant to be asking somebody about that. Since they reinstalled or changed the repeater, it just seems like that when I was driving home tonight, I noticed a lot. I just dropouts in places I didn't have them before. And, you know, since starting this, I've only done this like a year. But I had to change my mobile antenna part. It fell off. And so I bought another one, and it was fine, but it seems like this last go-around on the repeater thing, it's just not either putting out quite as much, or if it's putting out the same watts, it's not doing it quite the same way. I had places that, you know, it gets real staticky in my truck driving home where I used to not have it.
Well, I know they've had a lot of work going on. I know they were cleaning up the duplexer and getting it retuned there once upon a time. They've just been kind of chasing gremlins, I think, for a while. So there's no telling what it is. We're fighting the same thing on our fire repeater. A couple years ago, they did a whole bunch of relicensing and everything. We changed frequencies, and they had the repeater reprogrammed and the duplexer retuned, and I'm not convinced they got the duplexer quite 100%, because there's places where we used to be able to get into the repeater that we can't now, and just kind of some weird stuff going on. And they didn't change any feed line, no antenna, same repeater, but they, like I said, they retuned that duplexer. I know those things are, you know, the first 80% or so is pretty easy, but that last 20 is kind of a finesse kind of thing. So I don't know. But I know the guys, they're working hard on it, and they'll get it figured out sooner or later.
Yeah, maybe, maybe not. Katie 5CKK.
Good evening, Jethro.
Good evening, gentlemen. I almost think my ears are deceiving me, Justin.
Why is that?
I'm not used to hearing you this early.
This early? It's bedtime.
Oh, it's... Well, obviously I got you mixed up with somebody else. No, I'm... there's somebody else I'm used to hearing. I hear L.A. Kim earlier in the evening, but usually it's 10 o'clock or later when I hear him, if I do.
That may be J.R., N5ZJR, here lately. He's on night shift, so right about now when he's, this about when he should be picking up the radio and getting on here, but he's not at work.
I was referring to K5LHM there, but like I said, I had you mixed up with somebody else.
They kind of sound the same.
Kind of same, don't they?
No, they do. I don't think anybody's going to confuse you, me, or Denny, or Harold, or Victor. But there's a couple of them on here, and yeah, different call signs there, and but you know they sound kind of the same, but absolutely. And I had one more comment for LDE. You still there?
I am, but my phone's ran, so give me just a second. K5LDE.
All right, well, stand by for that. Jeff, how was your day and all of that? At some point, I need to write down your recipe you gave me for taco soup, but we'll do that a different day because I don't want to write right now and have to go find a pen, if you can imagine.
That got awful bad. Me and Mom kind of got crossways, but we'll get over it. We always do.
Man, you gotta keep your moms in the right props and right position. My mother, I love her. She was a hell for discipline growing up, but since then, a little different thing. And she lets me know when she goes out of town, and I make sure that I hear back from her. She comes back in from town and all of that. She's in the waning years of her working life, and she's traveling more than she's ever done. I've never had that problem last, you know, I don't know, 20, 25 years anyway. I understand. Things can happen, and they're what they are. But then I got other people that I just see all the time, and all of a sudden you say something not wrong, but in the wrong way, and the next thing you know, they're like mad. They don't tell you they're mad. Somebody else got to come and call you and tell you that, why did you, you know, this person is mad, and here's why. And it's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, Roger. Anyway, now I'm sitting here messing around on the computer and listening to the news.
I tell you what, we went all night tonight and I turned the TV on, and we do it pretty regularly, don't. And I had a friend of mine about, it was 5 years ago maybe, and he came out for some stuff, and his wife, they didn't think they could have kids, and they got pregnant and had a kid. And next thing you know, he went from, man, we watched an hour of TV a night, and they were watching three or four, and she got pregnant, and they just didn't, and then a little bit more, and have the kid, he was like, oh, I put the TV in the garage, and I was like, yeah, you go out there and make, and he did, he made him a little man cave out there, you go out there and watch a game here and there, you know, whatever, and the next thing you know, he's like, I gave my TV away. I'm like, you got this massive big screen. I'm like, you gave it away? He's like, yeah. Because, man, I realized it had been a month or two. I hadn't even gone there and watched it. And so they didn't even own a TV anymore.
Roger. Yeah. Anyway, that's what I'm doing. And, I don't know. I couldn't buy a TV. Well, probably could. It'd be hard. I said, Dylan, Facebook every now and then, log cabin out in the woods somewhere, and the captain says, do you think you could go out and live here and live without football and what have you? And I really don't know if I could or not. I'm not sure I'd like want to try.
Error. The time is 20:00 hour.
Oh my God, they fixed the clock. Thank you, Hal, with the new clock fixer. And Jeff, you're right, but I tell you what, if it wasn't for family and kids and whatnot, I would, if it's a matter of flipping light switch, I'd done it.
Here comes fire.
Who that was talking about how nice the temperature is? That's one reason I regraded my roof last night, because, man, it was just too nice not to go do it. I mean, I put in about 2 hours of work. Last time we had a bunch of rain about a month ago. Put in 7 hours of work, but we had two big giant-ass rains followed by there's a big one on the temperature, so. And there you go. So, I don't know. All right, Jeff, my question to you is this, sir. How can they get in here so easy? And if I try to go tap that repeater, they won't hear me. And, I mean, you made it a couple of times. I mean, you got a good antenna, 50 watts. I'm down in a hole, and I get to put 50 watts to it, but it just doesn't work. And like I said, it just doesn't work. But they come booming in here louder than our repeater.
So number one, I don't. There are a couple that can hear us, because I've talked to them. One of them about 6 or 8 miles south of Pryor, and one of them's over in Broken Arrow, I think. And I've talked to a guy up in Wagner, too. But I think that's further north and east. I have to look at the map and see for sure.
Breaks LDE.